If you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As you see, now remember in the New Testament, you've got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you've got the book of Acts, which is just the history of the starting of the churches. And then you've got a series of letters that Paul wrote, the letter to the Romans, the letter to the Galatians and the Corinthians and so on. And you got some other letters that were written by Peter. They call general epistles. We call those, and then we have the Revelation. There's some other things there, but I'm not going to get into the details right now. And the Revelation again is history, but it's future history. And I got news for you. I did not agree with someone about this earlier this week, but I'm very sure. Do you all know what the tribulation is? 7-year period of time when God is going to pour his wrath out upon the earth. And you think about it, if you've seen somebody get angry and act out of anger, can you imagine what it would be like when God's anger is poured out on the earth? Yeah. Folks, we won't be here.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
In fact, this is the book, 1 Thessalonians, that gives us a lot of that confidence because the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath.
Praise God.
Amen? God poured out his wrath on Christ on the cross, and when you got saved, God's wrath is not for you.
Amen. Lord, thank God.
But those people that have refused to receive Jesus, they have rejected God's Son, particularly the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nation of Israel, God's wrath is going to be poured out on them. It's going to be for two purposes, to judge the earth and to get Israel to turn back to God. And folks, Israel will turn back to God.
Amen.
God has not finished with Israel. So 1 Thessalonians says we're not appointed to wrath. But we're looking at the end of some of the epistles, and this one is probably the best example. There's this list of little verses, just a little verse, just a couple of words. For example, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you can see one of these in verse 16. Rejoice evermore. That's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. Who knows the shortest verse in the Bible?
Jesus wept.
Right, in John. This is pretty close. Two words, rejoice evermore. We talked about that last week. We got a three-word verse here. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And then we're just going to look at that one verse tonight, those three words. And then next week we'll look at this verse 18, in everything give thanks. Tempted to kind of talk about that a little, but we'll save that. There's a couple more, quench not the spirit. We'll keep going. But verse 17, pray without ceasing. Paul said this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, I thank God that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, everybody listen to me, okay? I'm not going to be long, but listen to me. Don't get distracted in talking to each other. Just listen to me for a minute, okay? If you want to know how to pray, the Bible's got some good examples, doesn't it? Had a fellow in our church in Maryland named James Oxford, a friend of mine, that we discipled them, and his wife got saved in one of our services, and he became a deacon in the church, and really a nice guy. And of his own volition, he came up with the idea of teaching a lesson in Sunday school on the prayers of Jesus. Very interesting. You look at the habits of people in the Bible that prayed. Paul describes his prayer life right here just a little bit, and I'm just going to quote it to you. You didn't need to turn there. But he says he prays night and day. Listen to me. How many of us pray night and day? Amen?
That's good. Amen.
I mean, so he's praying at least twice a day. Amen. the Lord Jesus Christ rose early before the sun came up, and he prayed, and sometimes he prayed all night. Now, again, it's one of those things. I could say to you, we all need to pray more. I'm sure it's a true statement. But that doesn't solve the problem. The question is, what are we going to do? And are we going to be the things that we do that make a difference, we do them deliberately. The devil is pretty good at keeping us from serving God by accident. So if you want to serve God, you got to decide, I'm going to do that. If you, for example, if you want to read your Bible in the morning, you got to decide, I'm going to read my Bible in the morning.
That's right.
or if you're going to read your Bible in the afternoon or whatever, you've got to be deliberate about that. I'm going to pray. So this is not a suggestion. He says, look at with me again, and I'll pray with us. He says in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. I'll explain that to you, but let's pray real quick. Father, I just ask you tonight, God, first of all, we pray you'd forgive us for not praying as we should, but a group of folks like this that would genuinely pray without ceasing the way this verse commands would have tremendous effect on this world. And I know that many of us pray too infrequently, too casually. Perhaps we don't think to pray as often as we should, or we don't think to pray about the right things. We don't take time and be deliberate. And I pray you'd help us to be more faithful at that. Lord, we don't need to wait until we get into a problem or a trying time to pray. But we should be praying without ceasing, like the verse says. Just help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all know a man that lived in the Civil War named Thomas Jackson. They called him Stonewall Jackson. How many of you have heard of him? All right. He was a general in the Confederate Army. He died during the war, and what happened was, I'm trying to think of the name of the city, Fredericksburg. Just outside Fredericksburg, Virginia, going west, there's a place out there, and what happened was General Jackson had gone out on his horse and was scouting out enemy positions to decide what he was going to do next with his troops. And when he came back into Confederate lines, a Confederate soldier mistook him for the enemy and shot him. And he shot him in the arm. But if you remember, in the Civil War, they used about a half inch in diameter ball. And when it hit your body, it did tremendous damage. And they didn't have antibiotics, and so you got infection. And so they amputated his arm, and he laid in a hospital for weeks before he finally died. But he succumbed to the infection and he died. And a lot of people believe if he had lived, that the South would have been much more successful in the Civil War. He was a very good general. There's actually a place in Virginia that you can visit. It's called the Jackson Shrine. And they have a clock there that's running, that was running the day he died, and it's still running. And that's kind of, for mechanical clocks, it's kind of a miracle. But anyway, General Jackson was a Christian. He was a very devout Christian. Here's how devout he was. He would not mail a letter that was going to be in the post on Sunday. He didn't want his letters traveling on Sunday, because Sunday was the Lord's Day, and the Lord's Day was reserved for worship. I'm going to read you something that he said about praying without ceasing. The language is kind of eloquent, so I'll help you to understand that a little bit. But a friend came to him, and he said, I don't understand what the Bible means when it asks me to pray without ceasing. He says, it doesn't seem practical. He said, how can somebody always be praying? That's what this fellow asked. And he's trying to understand what this verse means, pray without ceasing. And so General Jackson said this. I'm trying to get in, just right in the middle of this here. He said that he had developed a habit of connecting the most trivial and customary acts of life with silent prayer. He said, for example, when I eat, I pray. He said, I say grace. He said, when I take a drink of water, I pause and I thank God for the water of life. That's pretty good. The water of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when I drop a letter into the post office, I pray for that letter and for the blessing that letter would accomplish its mission, and that the person that receives it would be blessed. He said, when I open a letter, I stop and I pray to God that he would prepare me for its contents. You're starting to get the idea of who this fellow is, can't you? He says, and make it a messenger of good. He says, when I go to my classroom and I await the assignment of the cadets in their places, he had a military academy that he ran. He said, that's my time to intercede with God for them. He said, on every other familiar act of the day, I pray. And his friend said to him, he said, "Don't you forget to do this so frequently?" And General Jackson said, "No." He said, "I've made the practice so habitual, I cannot forget it any more than I can forget to drink when I'm thirsty." He said that it had become a delight to him in his life. That's good. Amen? He connected. If you didn't understand what I said, the language is kind of thick there. But he said, you know, the simple things I do in life, I've connected them with prayer. So I'm talking to God all the time. And I have no doubt that this gentleman was saved. In fact, when he died, he was in a delirium. And the last words he said to the people that were surrounding his bed, he said, "Come, let us cross the river and rest in the shade of the trees." And I think he saw somehow that he knew he was going to be in a restful place in eternity. And a good example of a Christian and a very religious man. Pray without ceasing. You know, there's a couple of thoughts. It doesn't take long. First of all, there's a need to pray, isn't there?
Amen.
Folks, as long as we're in this world, we're in a battle. And you know what I'm talking about. You're in a battle. You can see the signs of that battle. You can see the signs in our political arena right now. The different people that are vying for power, and many of them just flat out don't believe there's a God. And then they have no interest in the Bible. They mock the Bible. They treat the Bible as if it has no value. And there's a political battle right now between godly and godlessness. In our life, there's the battle between the flesh and the spirit. In our daily living, there's a battle between the people we deal with that are wicked and the people that we deal with that are godly. There's a battle. When you try to win souls, there's a battle, isn't there? There's the skepticism of the lost that doubt the Word of God and don't believe that Jesus died for their sins or don't want to think about it or whatever. And then there's that battle that we fight, the flesh and the spirit that we fight. And it's a battle. And I found out something in battle. One of the most important things is communications. I had a friend, acquaintance is a better word, in Dallas. And he was in a church there and he was blind. And he commented on the power of prayer. And he, think about this now. Imagine walking through your day and you can't see anything. You know, you just close your eyes for a moment and think that's the darkness he lived in all the time. But he said that being blind helped him to stay close to God because a lot of things didn't distract him from talking to God. And it wasn't uncommon for him to be walking down the street and, you know, he knew how to find his way around with a cane. I don't think he had a dog. I don't remember him having a dog. And he'd be walking down the street and, you know, he's finding his way with his cane and so he's talking to God. He just prayed all the time. And I've probably told you this story, but he came one day, he was walking across a parking lot and he heard a police car. And I went visiting with this fellow. He was amazing. We'd be walking along and he'd say, like, we'd be from here to that door. And he'd say, "Can you hear that?" He'd say, "Can you hear that car?" It was not on. It was not popping because it was hot. It was just sitting there cold. He said, "Can you hear that car?" "No." He said, "I can." And he could just, the echoes of things that when you spoke and things bouncing off the car, he knew where obstacles and stuff were. Anyway, he walked across this parking lot and his policeman was in his police car. And he walked up to the policeman and the fellow rolled his window down and he started talking to him and he asked the policeman, he said, "Do you know there is a form of communication that is so much better than your radio? You have a radio that you can talk to headquarters." He said, "There's a form of communication. It doesn't require any electricity. It doesn't have any limitation of range. It can go infinite distances. It's 100% reliable. It never, ever, ever fails. You know, radios break. You have to fix them. It never, ever breaks. And the person that you want to talk to is always, always there to listen."
Amen.
It's prayer.
Sorry.
When can you not pray?
That's good, Pastor. Amen.
Now, I think many of us would agree with what I'm about to say, which is, as you go through your day and you see things happening around you, you stop and pray. One of my favorite prayers, three words, "Lord, help me." Probably prayed that a million times. But we need God's help, amen?
Amen.
Pray without ceasing. An attitude of prayer. Now here's a thought. Maybe this helps some of you teenagers. When you're praying, I remember hearing a man preach this when I was a teenager in a Baptist church, and I remember just generally what I'm about to tell you. If you are in an attitude of prayer, if you literally could at any point in time in your day, any moment, if you could stop and pray right then, there's certain things you can't be doing because there are times when you don't want God to hear you. If you're sinning, amen? If you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, you're not inclined to pray, are you? So to be ready to pray all the time means to be walking right all the time, doesn't it? And here's the interesting thing. We know there's always a need. There's always a God to hear the need.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What did you face today that you could have prayed about?
Oh, that's good. Amen.
Amen? When did you get in trouble this week? I'm not talking about anybody. Just in any of us. You got in trouble, you did something you shouldn't have done, and you could have prayed and asked God to forgive you. Amen? Could have prayed and asked God to help you not do it again. Amen? Wonder what would happen in our life if we really did pray without ceasing. Now that does not mean, and I think that's what I was trying to read this to you, it doesn't mean that you walk around continually in prayer. But it's pretty close. And it doesn't stop. Amen? There's some things, a lot of things that we do. And we do them until they're not needed anymore. You know, you get a bottle of medicine from the doctor and it says, take these pills 3 times daily. And there's 30 of them in there. Well, 10 days from now, that's going to be the end of that. And the theory is, okay, 10 days from now, the medicine will have done its job. Folks, we won't need, and I'll explain this, we won't need to stop praying. There won't be a situation that doesn't need prayer until we're with the Lord Jesus Christ in person.
Amen.
Amen?
I agree.
So there's no limit here. Okay, we're going to pray, and now, because in the first place, and I'll talk about something else in a minute, we pray about things, and then they come and they go. We prayed for Dan Ball to have a safe and a peaceful departure. And he did. We're not praying about that anymore. But there's new things to pray about, aren't there?
Amen.
And there's things that we need to keep praying about. Now there's a principle in the Bible, and I won't get into it right now. I'm not studied up on it. But there are times when Paul, for example, remember the thorn in the flesh that Paul had? If you don't remember that, Paul had a physical ailment. We think he was very, 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 had bad eyes. We think he could probably just barely see anything, probably what we would call legally blind. And he said, I asked God 3 times to take that away from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And it sounds like he quit praying about it. That doesn't mean he didn't pray about other things, because he says, I pray without ceasing. But that particular issue he quit praying about. In the garden, how many times did Jesus go off and pray? 3 times. I'm not suggesting you just pray for things 3 times, although there may be some instances like that. But what I'm saying is, there'll be some prayers that we'll pray, and then God will give us an answer, and now we move on. There are some prayers you can pray every day. Like when Paul, back in 1 Timothy 1:5, when he says he prays without ceasing, he explains, 2 Timothy 1:3, he says that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee night and day in my prayers. In Paul's day, they didn't have email. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have a way to get in touch with people quickly. But he was able to pray for them. There's our missionaries. We pray for them. We don't know all their details, but we know that God does. Amen? Pray without ceasing. I would just ask you, and we're out of time. Maybe it would be that God would work in your heart. And if you don't have, here's a term that we use kind of loosely. We call it a prayer life. A prayer life. Let me explain that to those of you that may not know what that means. Is, do you pray at all? I mean, how many of you pray when you eat? I'll just ask you to raise your hand. You pray when you eat. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, when I'm in a restaurant, you know what I did? I stood up and I prayed for everybody's meal at the table. And you say, well, that's embarrassing. No, people that don't pray for their food should be embarrassed. Amen. It's not. I don't have any problem with that at all. And when you are in a restaurant, and have you ever been in a restaurant and seen somebody else bow and pray? Amen. How does that make you feel? Yes, there's somebody else besides me. Amen. So we pray for our meals. What about tonight when you go home? Will you pray before you go to sleep? Mm-hmm. Amen. If you don't, you could. What's stopping you? What's stopping you?
Good.
You know, that's one of the easiest times to pray. You lay down in bed. Nobody's talking to you. The lights are out. It's quiet. You're going to go to sleep in a few minutes. Quiet time to talk to God.
Amen.
When you get up in the morning, do you pray?
Amen.
Amen. And then, and I just mentioned this and I got to stop. It's not a bad idea to keep a notebook or something that's got a list of things you're praying about. And I'll tell you my experience with this. When you keep that little prayer diary, somebody call it a prayer journal, and then when you pray about things, and this is, I'll just tell you a story somebody else told me, it's got just as much power. A fellow that kept a prayer journal, and what he would do is, when God answered those prayers, he would check it off. And then after, and I've done this a lot, after a month or two, he'd go back and he'd read back on the things. And here's what you'd see in your prayer journal. I was worried about that and God took care of it. I was worried about that and God took care of it. I was worried about that and God took care of it. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way God works. We're kind of like the disciples in the ship. We're in a storm. We're getting wet. It's dark. We can't see the Lord. And we're afraid we're going to die. We're afraid things are going to go bad. And then when Jesus comes to the ship, he says to us, he says, why didn't you have faith? If you have faith, you'll pray. And one of the reasons people stop praying is because they don't think it does any good. That's the devil's lie, isn't it? If you believe the devil's lie, that the prayer doesn't do any good, well, call him a liar and start praying. Amen?
That's right.